This is a Cortez Radio news update. Marine tourism operator Mike Moore is one of the most recent of what appears to be a steady stream of Cortez Island residents visiting the Ferry Creek logging blockade. He stopped there on Sunday, July 4th, during a cruise around Vancouver Island. As Moore explained,
coming down the West Coast, it was really interesting. I haven't been out on the West Coast for many years, in the order of 20 years, 25 years, because I'd been running Misty Isles and just not able to get away. I used to go out there all the time when I was working the Coast Guard, because we'd be delivering supplies to the light stations. And coming down this time, maybe I'm just more aware of what's going on, but the amount of cutting is just incredible. And then south of the Broken Island group, you'd get into these areas of deep green valleys. And it was like, oh, well, that must be the Walbrand. That must be Carmana. And then back to cutting everywhere. It was really educational to see that contrast. It really does lend poignancy to why Ferry Creek and those old growth trees needs to be protected, because there is so little of it left. Anyway, we took the community action bus that is working to take people to Ferry Creek. And it's a scheduled run, although they don't keep a regular schedule. They just post on Facebook when they're going to run. And I joined the bus in Duncan. And when we just had passed Cowichan Lake, we were going down the highway and a truck pulled out in front of us and it was flying Forestry Feeds My Family flags. And it proceeded to slow right down in front of the bus. And this is the first time this had happened where the bus had had an escort. And so we were making maybe 30 kilometers going up the highway. And if the bus tried to pull out and pass, the truck would suddenly, it would accelerate and usually with a big belch of diesel smoke and pull into the middle of the highway so we couldn't pass. It was a bit of a cat and mouse game for a little bit. On several occasions, we had up to 11 other vehicles in behind the bus. That loop through Cowichan Lake to Port Renfrew is actually really busy in the summer. There were times where the other vehicles would pass the bus and try to get around the truck. And the truck was so afraid that the bus would pass too, that it would block the highway. And then all of a sudden there's oncoming cars and these vehicles were trying to get back into line, but it got really jammed up. It actually became quite a dangerous situation at times. And several times our bus driver pulled over, let all the cars past, and then we'd drive for maybe a half a kilometer and the truck would pull out and start the escort again. In those situations, it can be very difficult to remain calm and relaxed. And the bus driver did a very good job of that. I never felt ourselves were imperiled by the bus driver's actions. There were times where we would come to a narrow bridge and the truck would really slow down on the narrow bridge and the bus driver would have to hold back because the truck was basically waiting for another car to be coming the other way to put us in an awkward situation trying to get across this narrow bridge. So up there, there's no cellular reception. And so there was no way to report what was going on. But we did manage to flag down a vehicle going in the opposite direction, and they carried the report out to the RCMP. I don't know if anything came of that, though. That was the first time that this kind of interaction had happened on the scheduled bus route. And it was uncomfortable, and certainly vehicles that were being held up behind us were angry. And when they passed, we sometimes got waves and thumbs up on the bus, but sometimes we had fists shaken at us. But on the other hand, so did the truck, because he was actually the root of the problem. We were a tiny bit late getting to Ferry Creek. We had to miss one of the scheduled stops, which was at a giant Sitka spruce tree that they wanted to take us to see, but we had to miss that just to keep the schedule to get to Ferry Creek. We got to Ferry Creek. We're met by a welcoming committee. And I was very impressed because this welcoming committee, they came out and they basically read the mission of the blockade. And the mission of the blockade is not only to save the first growth trees that are imminently being logged in the Ferry Creek watershed. And these, I understand, are big, old yellow cedar trees up high on the ridges. The blockade is about all first growth forest in BC needing to be saved for its genetic diversity, for its capacity to house ecosystems, sequester carbon, and the fact that at this time of forestry, we've been at it a long time, we shouldn't be cutting the principal in the bank account of forest reserve. We should be cutting the interest at this time, right? Like the second growth and what we've reinvested into the forestry. It's time to stop first growth forestry. And there was also in their mission a huge part on learning about colonialization. So it's really upon us as individuals to learn about how the First Nations have been treated and continue to be treated by industrial resource extraction policies. And they also were very, very strict on a no drug policy in the camp. No alcohol, no drugs, no fire. The main camp area has been moved to a gravel pit, which must be very uncomfortable because the sun comes up early in the morning and it just gets hot in a gravel pit. But they're committed to that and they have fire stations everywhere. The camp was very well organized. The other thing that I didn't realize before is the blockade is huge. It is absolutely huge. So I walked about 7 kilometers up a logging road to a place called River Camp. And I understand that to be only about halfway up to where the active protests are going on and the interactions with the RCMP. But there are many camps up there, and all through the area, there are just signs of their intent, which is the trees are worth more standing. There's one camp where there's literally at least 100 red dresses hung up in a clear cut. So it can be quite powerful as well to walk and see all that's been done there. I was only there for the afternoon. I went further than the normal afternoon tourist would go by walking way, way back into there. I really wanted to see what things were about. I never got to the old growth areas. Those old growth areas, which are on the block and where most of the police actions are happening, are another at least 7 kilometers back, plus a hike through the woods for another hour. So wasn't able to see that, but to see the organization and infrastructure that's closer to the main headquarters, that's what they call it, which is right off the highway, was very interesting. There is a First Nations presence there. There were cleansing ceremonies going on. There were First Nations talking to the protesters about history, about colonialization. And when I thought about going in there, I had a lot of conflict and a little bit of hesitancy just about how to proceed, because we get the stories of the Pachetet Council and elected chief not wanting anybody in there. But we also get stories of the hereditary chiefs wanting protesters in there.
You've been listening to an interview with Mike Moore about his visit to Ferry Creek. As regards his reference to a hereditary chief wanting the protesters at Ferry Creek, that is Victor Peter, who many recognize as the hereditary chief of the Pachetet Nation. Elder Bill Jones wrote, "The Peter family, as far as our oral tradition allows, has always been here. They are the governing authority and are responsible for this valley.